pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. That is the text line. That's where you're going to want to hit us if you want to discuss or react or comment on anything hearing on this program. Steve Flowers coming up in about a half hour, columnist. And then Dave Thomas, he's running for governor, but he's also mayor of Springville. He'll be with us in the 11 o'clock hour. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. Joining us here in the what we're going to deem eventually the Fairhope Bureau of FM Talk 106.5, Congressman Mo Brooks, running for United States Senate. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well. It's a pleasure being in your castle.
It's a work in progress, but we're hoping to get there.
And, beautiful neighborhood, beautiful yard.
Well, I appreciate that. By the way, we just had all those trees removed, so you could actually see the house now. But anyway, I won't belabor that. Congressman, how goes the campaign thus far?
It seems to be going fairly well. We took some hits primarily from the Katie Britt team with their negative attack ads. Slowly but surely, I think more and more Alabama citizens are starting to think about what is alleged in the Katie Britt attack ads and figuring out that they're not truthful. And as that happens, we're gaining some ground. And it always helps that you've got Katie Britt now attacking Mike Durant on the Second Amendment right to bear arms issue, which to me, from where I sit, both of them are weak on the Second Amendment right to bear arms. Don't know if you want to get into the details of that, but I can.
Yeah,
so I think we're on the upswing.
Well, let's talk about the Second Amendment. Obviously, it's become a topic. We'll go into why. I think we all know why at this point, but where are you on it? What is your reaction to this kind of issue coming up as it's kind of found its way into this race?
Well, let me digress back to 2017 when I was on the baseball field where 160, 170 or so bullets were fired at us over about a 7.5 minute period of time. Steve Scalise and four other of the good guys were shot. The assassin was killed, and as you may know, I was a target of that assassination attempt. The guy had my physical description written down in his pocket, and afterwards there was a scrum of reporters, and if you don't mind, if you'll let me just quote what I said back then, as you can imagine, the goal of the reporters is to make us congressmen look two-faced by, well, now that you've come under pressure of getting shot at, what do you think of the Second Amendment kind of thing? And this is the way the conversation went. Quote, this is from the reporter. Congressman, does this change your views on the gun situation in America? End quote. Mo Brooks, not with respect to the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment right to bear arms is to help ensure that we always have a republic. And as with any constitutional provision in the Bill of Rights, there are adverse aspects to each of those rights that we enjoy as people. And what we just saw here is one of the bad side effects of someone not exercising those rights properly. But we're not going to get rid of the freedom of speech because some people say some really ugly things that hurt other people's feelings. We're not going to get rid of the Fourth Amendment search and seizure rights because it allows some criminals to go free who should be behind bars. These rights are there to protect Americans, and while each of them has a negative aspect to them, they are fundamental to our being the greatest nation in world history. So, no, I'm not changing my position on any of the rights that we enjoy as Americans, end quote. Keep in mind, that's still while the, you know, I'm jacked up on adrenaline, just having successfully avoided having been shot by a socialist assassin. So that gives you an idea of my commitment to the Second Amendment right to bear arms. And when I see some of the things that Katie Britt has said or some of the things that Mike Durant has said that undermine our Second Amendment right to bear arms, it's most troubling.
Well, we know what Mike Durant said. We know that he has said that, you know, his comments in that 2011 War College speech, maybe we could revisit later in the program, guys, if you haven't heard it. But what is your beef with the Katie Britt stance on the Second Amendment?
There was some legislation that came up for a vote on the House floor last year, It involved, in part, amongst many things, a red flag law provision, which is basically where the government seizes your weapons and then you can litigate to get them back. And this is what the Gun Owners of America said about that provision. This language would create a military court GCO program, a disgusting violation of the 2nd, 4th, 5th, and 14th Amendment rights of our armed services personnel who offer their lives to defend those same constitutional rights every day. This is just the foot in the door. If Nancy Pelosi gets this into the military code, then it becomes the precedent for enforcing gun confiscation against the rest of the population. Seizing firearms first and getting the due process later will never constitute sufficient due process, no matter how much anti-gunners may pretend it does. So you would have thought that Katie Britt, if she really supported the Second Amendment right to bear arms, would have said kudos to Mo Brooks or said nothing. But instead, she attacked me, and this was what Katie Britt said in attacking me. Quote, "This is the latest example of why Washington is broken and why we don't need ineffective, all-talk, do-nothing career politicians like my opponent in the United States Senate," end quote. That was in a news release by Katie Britt. I suspected I was going to be attacked for defending the Second Amendment right to bear arms, and it had some other provisions like drafting our teenage daughters in it. Another provision was firing our military personnel who refused to take the vaccine. But Katie Britt said that she would have voted for this legislation that I voted against. And that is not protecting the Second Amendment right to bear arms if you're going to cut these deals. And as long as your bread is buttered like you won't, then go ahead and sacrifice the Second Amendment right to bear arms. And so I fought to protect the Second Amendment right to bear arms. And as you've just heard from Katie Britt's public news release, she would have voted to undermine the Second Amendment to bear arms. And so while she's right now attacking Mike Durant over the Second Amendment, quite frankly, I see the pot calling the kettle black.
Let's talk goes back to the NDAA earlier, or I guess it was last year's NDAA.
It was Nancy Pelosi's version of the National Defense Authorization Act.
That they crammed a bunch of social engineering stuff into it, a lot of poison pills, and they hammered you for voting against it.
That is exactly what they did, and let me emphasize, this is a part of their messaging where they're trying to portray me as anti-military. They're flat-out wrong, and by way of example, in the Alabama congressional delegation, Congressmen Robert Adderholt, Gary Palmer, and Barry Moore all voted exactly like I did, and none of them are anti-military, and the end game to all this is really most remarkable. By our opposition, our publicizing the bad things that Nancy Pelosi was trying to slip into a must-pass piece of legislation like the National Defense Authorization Act, we were able to create public pressure that in turn caused each of those bad things to be removed from the final version of the NDAA that became law. So there was no forcing of our teenage daughters to register for the draft. There were no red flag laws. Because we fought them, and our military personnel, while they still were getting fired by the Biden administration, there was not a ratification of the Biden administration's policy of firing our military personnel who refused the vaccine as expressed by Congress. So Congress was not ratifying what the president was doing. So it was a major victory for us conservatives to have stood up tall, to have voted against this in its origin point, and to then be able to focus public attention on it, and then to be able to get those really bad provisions out of the defense authorization bill. But both Mike Durant and Katie Britt attacked me. Katie Britt attacked me most vociferously, but on a radio talk show, WVNN, I think it was Mike Yaffe, who's a good friend of yours.
Right.
My recollection is that he's the one that asked Mike Durant, after having told him about the reasons I opposed it, "Well, how would you have voted?" And he said he would have also have voted for the NDAA that undermined the Second Amendment right to bear arms. We don't need any more surrender caucus people in the United States Senate. We have too many of them as it is. And that's one of the defining points between myself and either Katie Britt or Mike Durant. I will fight for our principles, and I will not let the other side outmaneuver me into voting for some really bad things. But both Mike Durant and Katie Britt, they admitted they would do exactly that. They would surrender on those basic principles.
Right. They would argue the good outweighs the bad, and that is a judgment call. But you know, I guess they are. The assumption there was this, though, if I recall, that bill that you voted on, it was going to go to this conference committee, and they were going to strip all that stuff out, and then we're going to get another crack at it, so let's just get it to the conference committee. And then you say, well, you don't want to take that for granted, right?
Well, you don't know if you're going to get another crack at it. Once a bill is passed the House of Representatives, it goes to the Senate. And if the Senate had voted for it as is, then we'd have been stuck with what passed through the House of Representatives. But again, our having stood tall is what focused public pressure on the United States Senate, and for that matter, the House of Representatives, to eliminate these really egregious provisions, left-wing provisions that Nancy Pelosi had put into a must-pass defense authorization bill. So it was a major victory for those of us who are pro-military. And I find it most regrettable, even contemptible, that Mike Durant and Katie Britt would interject politics in such a serious matter, particularly when they're wrong.
Joined by Congressman Mo Brooks of the 5th Congressional District, running for United States Senate here in Alabama, a Republican primary on May 24th, a little more than a month away. Congressman, I think we're about to see have a discussion about immigration. Obviously, the southern border, the Biden administration, leaving a lot to be desired there at the southern border with their handling. But can you talk a little bit about where we are, where you think we are, and, you know, having Republican control of the House and the Senate, we know the House is probably going to be Republican. Senate could go either way, but what can we do here? What can we do to try to get that under control if you have split mixed government in this country?
Well, there's very little that we can do over the short term because the American people have dug us a huge hole by putting the Democrats, the open borders advocates, in charge of the House, the Senate, and the White House. And I should add to that deep hole are all these Republicans who are hostages of the Chamber of Commerce and other open borders, cheap foreign labor, special interest groups. You put those Republicans who are for open borders and cheap foreign labor, the Chamber of Commerce type Republicans, with the Democrats, and we've got to have a major, major shakeup, in the United States House and the United States Senate for us to come close to having the votes to have border security. Right now, there is zero border security. In fact, what we're doing is quite literally throwing out welcome mats for the illegal aliens who cross our border. I was at the Arizona border with Mexico a few weeks ago as these illegal aliens are crossing over the Colorado River bed, which is dry at that point. And they climb up the riverbank, and then they immediately go, they search out for the Border Patrol agents who have these huge air-conditioned vans. And then these people are given refreshments and escorted to a holding center where they're given free food, free clothing, free health care, free shelter, free everything. And then they're freely transported around the United States of America. That is not border security, but that's what this administration, the Biden administration, is ordering our Border Patrol agents to do, and being the loyal employees that they are, they're doing it. 2 million plus illegal aliens came across the border last year. I don't know how bad it's going to be this year, but it's having a variety of adverse economic and physical effects on American citizens who are law-abiding and should be doing better and would be doing better, but for this lawlessness at the border that is encouraged both by the Democrats as a power play, political power play, and by a significant number of Republicans who see this as milking the special interest group cow and getting those political campaign contributions from the special interest groups that won't open borders and millions of cheap foreign laborers that undermine American wages.
Let's get a break in here. We're joined by Congressman Mo Brooks. So we'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Tell me to stay away from the train line. She said that all the railroad men just drink up your blood like wine.
Hey, I was country.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us. Got just for a few more minutes here, Congressman Mo Brooks of the 5th Congressional District, but running for the United States Senate. So we're trying to get all these Senate candidates. The invitation continues to remain out there for Mike Durant. I'm told by his people he will come on at some point. So we'll wait and see. Anyway, Congressman, obviously... where the campaign goes from here, you got just a little over a month. How do you feel about the state of the campaign as far as it is, as your prospects go? You still feel like you got a decent shot at the runoff?
Well, we were hammered by deceitful attack ads by Katie Britt, and they did damage. We don't have the special interest group money that she's got, and we've not been able to respond on the airways like I would have loved to. And we're rebounding from that as we're able to inform the public about the falsity of the attacks that the Katie Britt team has launched against us. But no question that hurt us. We were in first. That knocked us down to third. My challenge is to give voters enough information so that they can think through these attack ads of Katie Britt and discern for themselves that I am the conservative in this race, that Katie Britt is the Mitch McConnell establishment special interest group candidate, and that Mike Durant is the Lincoln Project left-wing candidate. And if we can get the truth out there, then we'll do just fine. It's a challenge, no question. Thank you for allowing me to share that kind of information with your listening audience. But we're working at it. We're working at it hard. But ultimately, it's going to be up to the citizens of the state of Alabama to do their homework. If they do their homework and they want a conservative, their only choice is Mo Brooks.
Now, you're here in town, Eastern Shore Republican Women. You're speaking to that club. It was supposed to be a forum today, but two of the candidates unable to attend.
I think unable is a generous word.
I'm trying to be diplomatic.
Katie Britt
here.
And Mike Durant declined to come.
I'm trying to be diplomatic here, but that being said, well, what are you hearing personally when you go to speak to the groups like this? Everything seems to, and this is true even at the state government level, when you talk to these candidates, it's all about Biden in the White House and Pelosi in Congress.
My general reaction, having spoken around the state to groups of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 150, 200, what have you, is overwhelming support for our candidacy once they hear the truth. And that is the key. We're doing grassroots politicking while the other folks are relying on their professionally paid million-dollar ad buys. And so they're marketing in mass, and I'm marketing retail. But the reception from the folks after they've heard our remarks, it's probably 70-80% of the folks there that after we've spoken would vote for Mo Brooks. Keep in mind, we do have a split within our party. We do have some people who just like the establishment views, some people who like tax increases. If so, Katie Britt's your person. Some people who like cheap foreign labor and open borders. If so, either Katie Britt or Mike Durant is your person. So you're never going to get 100%, but I'm very, very encouraged by the response we're getting from the people that we're actually able to interact with in a setting where they can ask me any question they wish, which is not something that the other candidates are doing very much of.
No, we're at that phase, though. Things have picked up. You're seeing more of the contrast between the candidates, right? But you started out this race a lot different. You had the 100% name ID going for you. These guys are getting known throughout the state, but you know, in some ways, that's a tangible benefit to have that name ID. But in other ways, they've been able to just define themselves as whatever, and whatever that is, it sets them up for this race. You're already defined. I mean, what kind of challenge is it when you're trying to contrast yourself between these other two?
Well, it's a blessing because I have held elected office before.
Right.
No one else in this race has held elected office, which means that it's a crapshoot with anybody else as to what you're going to get. We hear their public statements, but to a large degree, those public statements are crafted by polling data that tells these candidates what to say. With me, if you want someone who's pro-life, you can look at my record. I'm pro-life.
Congressman, we got a website real quick before we let you go.
MoBrooks.com. MoBrooks.com.
Y'all check that out, guys. We got to get to a break here. Thanks for Mo Brooks coming on. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. High Achievers.